At the moment, I'm busy speaking on the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you that Christianity is something practical. It's not a religion. It's a lifestyle. It's an experience. It's a relationship. Calling it a religion is stupid because religion can't save you, can it? No. What saves us is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals to us who Jesus is, the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you ask people why they are saved, and they will answer you, well, because I believe. The Bible says in the book of James, I think it's chapter 1 or chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. If you tell me tonight that you believe in Jesus, then you admit the same that all the demons in the world admit. Satan believes in Jesus. Leviathan believes in Jesus. Jezebel believes in Jesus. Abaddon and Napoleon believe in Jesus. Lucifer believes in Jesus. Beelzebub believes in Jesus. You got to go one step further if you want to be saved. Just believing in Jesus makes you no better than the devil. Romans 10 verse 19 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. If you believe that God raised him from the dead, then you believe that his death is the key to bringing you back to life and restoring you with God. And then you have the opportunity to enter into a relationship with him. And it is on the basis of your relationship with him that God will also see you as a child of God. Do you understand that? Through Christ, we have been given the right to be called children of God. Not everybody is a child of God. We become a child of God. Not through birth, but through the rebirth. Through the second birth. We read in the book of John, chapter 3. Let's quickly just go there. John chapter 3. Somebody comes and asks Jesus a question. John chapter 3 verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. The Bible says we must be born again. For some people, that's a really weird concept. Maybe like Nicodemus, you think to yourself, well, you know what, how does the dynamics of that work? You know, how am I supposed to do that? We're talking about something spiritual that has to happen. And I want you to notice that the Bible says that this has to be done by the Spirit. We don't get born again in the flesh because that is impossible. The Bible says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Once you were born once, you can't be born again in the physical. You can only die. It's going to happen to all of us. But you can be born again in the Spirit. Let me explain to you just quickly, before we go and look at all this other stuff, how that works. Before you came to this world, God knew you. Did you know that? Your creation did not take place the day you were born here on earth. You were created long before that. God speaks to the prophet, I think it's Jeremiah, he says to him, before I've created you, I knew you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was a prophet in God's eyes long before he came down to earth. When he was still up there with God, before he was born, everything that was needed for him to be a prophet, to be a man of God, to give instruction to God's people was already put inside of him, and he was called and he was created and he was formed and he was put together to be a prophet. And then he was sent down here for that to be manifest. And none of us are any different. God knew you long ago. God knew what he wanted to do with you. God knew where he needed to send you, how things needed to work in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that that's what you're living right now. You see, here's the challenge. When we're up there with God, because that's where we come from, when we're up there with God, we know and we understand our call, our destiny, our purpose. We understand all of that stuff, and then we get born and we forget it all. Because the flesh doesn't know what the spirit knows. The flesh can't. So the only way for you to have any chance of knowing why you are here, what God wants to do with you, where God wants to send you, etc., is for your spirit to become born again. And the more your spirit grows and the more your spirit matures in spiritual things, the more you begin to realize what your spirit already knew long ago. Some of you that are sitting here tonight, you are prophets of God. Some of you sitting here tonight are evangelists. Some of you sitting here tonight are called to have a kingly anointing to work in business. Some of you are called to be in leadership, be it in the church or at school level or in Sunday school or whatever, or maybe just even in your family. But the fact is, your spirit doesn't just know that. Your spirit must first, A, become born again and become alive to the things of God. When you are born in the natural, you become alive to the world. Do you understand that? When you are born, you can touch, you can feel, you can smell, you can see, you can hear. The world becomes alive to you. But does it become alive to you instantly? No. It takes time. And you know what? Right now, I'm in my 40s. There's still some things in this world that hasn't come alive to me. I'm still discovering new things all the time. Spiritual things are no different. When we become born again, sometimes we have this fallacy that because I just got born again, I must know everything. Everything must be revealed to me. No, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It implies a process. You know, Georgie's father used to be into training, weight training. Your father was runner-up in the Mr. South Africa, Mr. Universe, whatever the thing is was. I saw a picture in his office. His father was gigantic, huge. But did he get that way in one day? Did he work out once and then he had these muscles? What was the size of his biceps? 20 and a half inches. That's probably the size of my waist. You know? Okay, I'm flattering myself here now, but anyway. You don't get that way by training once or twice. But the harder you work and the harder you train, the more you develop and the stronger you become. It's exactly the same with us. God wants, A, your spirit to become born again, and that can only happen through the Holy Spirit. But then you can't just now, you know, this is where a lot of people make the mistake. Oh, I'm born again. Let's get back into the world and party, party, party. Let's just have fun. Let's just go for broke. You know, like they say in Afrikaans, gaan groot of gaan huis toe. So we mess up as much as we can because, you know what, the back door is okay. We got salvation. No, that's not what God wants. Hear me out. God created you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, but you were made for a godly and a divine purpose. And most of us in this room don't know what that is. Neither can you know what that is because your spirit, just like your natural person, body, had to grow and develop and become mature to begin to understand your surroundings and know what to do in society, etc. So your spirit is exactly the same. Your spirit doesn't instantly know everything about your call, your destiny. As you grow in God, as you spend time with God, as you spend time with the Holy Spirit, as you come under the anointing, as you come under the power of the Holy Spirit, as you receive good teaching, As the fire of God comes upon you, all of these things play a role and you begin to mature in the spiritual things. And slowly but surely, your spirit begins to regain the consciousness of what God revealed to you when you were still with Him. And the closer you get to God in that way, and the closer you come to the Holy Spirit, the more of the power of the Holy Spirit is revealed in you and released in you, the more you begin to see where God wants to take you. The Bible says, as each one has received the gift, minister therefore one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Listen to what he says. He says, as each one has received the gift. Tony, you have gifts in you. I'm going to freak all of you out now. Even this one has gifts in him. Because the Bible says we all have. But let me ask you this question. When you got born again, do you know what gifts are inside of you? No, you don't. Some people have been walking a road with God for 10 years, 15 years. They still don't know what gift is inside of them. Because you see, only the Holy Spirit can release it. Only the Holy Spirit can start pushing it to start manifesting. And only the Holy Spirit knows whether you are ready or not for the spiritual responsibility of using that gift. You see, unfortunately, the devil sometimes perverts Christian gifts. I'll give you an example. There might be somebody with a strong prophetic call on their life. That's how God made your spirit. You see, our spirits are all different. Some spirits lend themselves to the prophetic. Some spirits lend themselves to leadership. Some spirits lend themselves to a teaching ability. Some spirits lend themselves to being a warrior, to fight in the kingdom of God. It takes all sorts, doesn't it? Does an army just function through the frontline troops? Well, you see, if you just had the frontline troops, then they would die of hunger and of starvation. They would die because they don't know where the enemy is and they can't plot a course, etc., etc. So we need all kinds. Like the Apostle Paul says, one is the hand and one is the foot and one is the toe and one is the finger and one is the ear and one is the spleen and one is the... It takes all sorts to make the kingdom of God advance. It takes all sorts. So now here's the thing. The Bible says we have all got gifts inside of us. And those gifts were given to us by God, for the glory of God and the furthering of the kingdom of God down here on earth. Because whether you like it or not, there's a war going on right now between good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Satan is highly upset that he got thrown out of heaven. He's highly upset that he has to hang around with plebs like you and me. And he would love to take out his anger, his bitterness, his hatred, his envy, his jealousy, his rage, his everything on you and on me. And if you understand how this stuff works, you should also understand that he's not interested in taking it out on the Satanist. He's not interested in taking it out on the pervert. He's not interested in taking it out on the murderer. Because he's already got them. Why must he give them a hard time? So that he can push them to church? No, he's not an evangelist. He doesn't want to do that. In fact, let me rephrase that. Satan does like to push people towards churches. What type of church do you think he wants you to go to? He loves religious places. As long as there's no power. The Bible speaks of people that have an air of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He wants you to go to places like that. Talk, 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 talk. No vuma, no fire, no power. Amen? Why? Because that sort of pacifies you, keeps you happy that you're sort of doing something right, but actually you're going nowhere. Yeah, he'll push you towards a church like that. Then there'll be some church that's on fire, where the power of God is. It's like, oh, I feel uncomfortable. I don't want to go there. I don't like the... something there is not right. Yeah, every demon in you is charging up, telling you, don't go there. They might cast me out if you go there. You should just stay away. Yeah. No, the devil's not an evangelist, but he likes to kick people towards dead churches. You know, when the letters were written to the churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus was the author of the letters. Go and read those letters and see if he was happy with the church. No, he wasn't. Most of the churches were just messing around, clowning around, wasting everybody's time, including God's. And you know, they say the more things change, the more they stay the same. To me today, I unfortunately believe that that is still true. A lot of churches are just messing around and wasting people's time. Because people go there and they spend 10, 15, 20 years there, but nobody can ever see any change. Do you think that's God? Do you know the first message that Jesus ever preached? Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you know what the word repentance means? The word repentance means change. God expects change. And I want to say something to you. When you come to these meetings, you should take that word very seriously, because God wants change in your life. And God means business. That was a warning. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Who of you wants to experience the kingdom of God? I'm very disappointed in all of you, because nobody jumped up and down. I'm going to ask that question again. Who wants to experience the kingdom of God? I'm very disappointed in you. Nobody did cartwheels. No, I'm only joking, man. Amen. I like you. There we go. Next week when I preach somewhere else, I'm taking you with me. I like that. You didn't know you could still do that, did you? I mean, nobody's as surprised as your husband. He's looking forward to going home tonight. There we go. Amen. Well, bless God. Now you've made me forget where I was. But it's okay, we'll find it again. We'll find it again. Bless God. Say again. Change, yes, thank you. My friend, I want to say something to you tonight. God wants us to change. You know, when you came to God, all of you were in a bad place. You had lots of issues, lots of problems, lots of drama, etc., etc. And yes, God put something amazing and wonderful inside of you. Let's call it a gift. But before God is going to get to the place that He will allow the gift to come out and start working, He wants to see some change in you. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God manifests in your life after repentance and after you believe. And the word repentance there doesn't just mean get saved. Because just because you got saved doesn't mean you've dealt with all of your issues. There's some of you sitting here, you still got big issues. I can't say that you're not saved, but I can tell you, you haven't dealt with your stuff. Sometimes we don't want to deal with our stuff. Sometimes we hide our stuff. Sometimes we have an attitude problem. We don't think we're wrong. That's why you need good teaching. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to come and touch your heart now and then and say to you, hey, listen, you know, you're quick to judge others, but just check a bit what's going on in your own heart. And let's talk about that. Maybe we're just talking tonight, but the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You know, I've often had people, they come to me for counseling, it's like, oh, I'm not like this and I'm not that, and I'm telling you, I don't have this and I don't have that, and then I'm just sitting there, I'm just thinking to myself, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? People try and convince me they know themselves, but the Bible says you don't even know what's in your heart, but God does. And when you start meaning business with God and you ask Him to show you what's in your heart, then you're going to probably have a big surprise. Because that week, some serious yucky stuff might pop out of you. You're going to think to yourself, what, am I in the twilight zone? No. This is where God starts dealing with our issues and our nonsense. Anyway, I'm busy talking to you about the Holy Spirit, because none of this can work without the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is crucial in our experience of God. Let's get back to what we spoke about last week. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and the earth was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. Let's dissect that a bit. In the beginning, many, many years ago, God created, because God is the creator, the heavens and the earth. Then the Bible tells us, now the earth was formless and it was empty. Now you must understand that that does not represent the world that we know today. The world that we know today is not formless, it's round. But the earth back then was formless. And the earth that we see today is not empty, it's inhabited. There are trees, there are plants, there are animals, There are people. There are houses. There's all sorts of stuff on the earth right now. But the Bible says back then the earth was empty. Then it also says, and darkness covered. There was no light. The surface of the deep refers to water. The earth was just one big ball of water mixed with sand, which gives you mud. What was the earth many, many moons ago? A dark, muddy, swampy pit. That's all it was. But God wanted to create something beautiful. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering above the waters. God is about to do something amazing. But before God can do something amazing, He sends someone to prepare the way. Who's the one that gets sent to prepare the way? The Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Here's what God has to do. First, He needs to bring light. There was no Eskom back then. So a good thing, because they were probably striking on power, power saving mode. He has to bring light in a very dark place. He has to separate the water and the earth. He has to bring about creation. Animals, plants, fish, birds, shongololos, chocololos, and people. And funny people like Mr. Bean. And crazy people like Diane. Where is she going? And weird people like Louis. And normal people like you. But it takes all sorts, doesn't it? Now, God has to do all of these things. But He needs somebody there that's a specialist. He needs somebody there that's an expert. Who does He send? He sends the Holy Spirit. Listen to me carefully. When you are confronted with a big problem, there's only one person that you need. You need the Holy Spirit. Because He can do anything. He can solve any problem. He can fix any mistake. He can take the greatest defeat and turn it into the biggest victory. There's nothing that He cannot do. And so the Spirit of the Lord was hovering above the waters, and the Lord spoke these words. He said, "Let there be light." But I want you to notice, all God did was speak. God did not do. Who's the one that did it? The Holy Spirit. God is the one that knows what He wants to happen in your life, but God doesn't do what He wants to happen in your life. He leaves that up to the specialist. We call the specialist the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me carefully. This world is full of people that are bombarding the kingdom of God with prayers about their future, about their finances, about their marriage, about their plans for the future, about their children, about their work situation, about their mother-in-law, etc., etc. But the fact of the matter is, the specialist is not there to bring it to pass. Because the Holy Spirit is not at work in their life. Maybe they attend a church that doesn't really speak about the Holy Spirit. Maybe they don't think that the Holy Spirit is really of great value. It's just a spirit. After all, it's just wind. The Holy Spirit is called the wind of God, right? You can think that way because I've heard people speak that way. But if you think that way and you speak that way, you are crazy and you are stupid, because that's not the way it is. In the kingdom of God, there is a certain way, a certain order that things work. God might have spoken many amazing things about your life. But everything God speaks about your life will just be hanging until the one that can bring it into fulfillment is allowed to work in your life, and that is the Holy Spirit. Maybe that financial breakthrough that you've been praying for was spoken into 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago already, but guess what? If you're not at the place where you allow the Spirit of God to work in your life, it cannot be made manifest. Because God simply speaks it, the Holy Spirit does it. And without the Holy Spirit, it cannot happen. In the same way, we spoke last week about when God created Adam. God created Adam by taking the dust of the earth, which, remember, was still mixed with water and all of that, which gives us mud, which we will just call clay. And God took the clay and he formed the shape of God. Arms, legs, head, torso, etc., etc. And then it was lying there and it was dead, because clay is like that. You can give it features, but you can't make it work. It has no life. And God created his image, but what did he do to give it life? He said, let us breathe. God breathed into the clay, and it came alive and stood up on its feet. And it became what we call Adam. And Adam simply means clay. That's what Adam means. So now, what was it that was needed to take Adam from a state of death to a state of life? It was breath, but what is the breath called? One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is also the breath of the Almighty. When God breathes his spirit into something, it comes alive. The Holy Spirit can do what nobody else can do. He can give life where there is death. So I want to ask you a question. How many circumstances, situations, areas of your life can you mention tonight that you believe there is more death than life? Everybody has some. Some, your mind, your thinking, your finances, your work situation. You can keep going on that list. How do you get it from a place of death to a place of life? Well, yes, two things have to happen. God has to speak it, and the Holy Spirit has to do it. But what if the Holy Spirit is not welcome? Actually, let's talk about that. Let's talk about a couple of things. What happens when the Holy Spirit begins to move? All right. Let's just throw it out there. I told you that God created some normal people, some strange people, some wacky people, some weird people, some crazy people, some funny people. Some normal people. Of course, God has to cater for people like you too. Yeah, I understand that. That's just another word for boring. Oh, sorry. There, I put my foot in it now. But your wife likes you that way. Don't stress. Don't worry. I'm only joking, eh? What happens when the Holy Spirit begins to move? Imagine if you were there on the day of creation. Listen to me carefully. It wasn't just wham, bam, pow, and it was there. Things happened. Think about that verse we looked at last week from Ezekiel 37, where God told the prophet to speak to the bones. What do you think it looked like when the bones came together? Every bone to its bone. Hollywood couldn't duplicate that, even if they tried. And if they did, it would be called a horror. To surpass all horrors. We would prevent our children from seeing that, but God does it in the Bible. It's like what we view as a taboo, what we say is like, oh, no, that's not good. God does these things because God doesn't care. He does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. That's why he's called the sovereign God. The word sovereign means he's in charge and he doesn't need your permission to do things his way. And I like that. I like that because God shouldn't have to answer to anybody. He's God after all. He's the creator. But the problem is we want him to answer to us. We want to be... Here's one of the problems the way I see it. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. It's up to God to decide. He's the one that will judge me. But too many churches want God to be accountable to them instead of them being accountable to God. Because it's like the Holy Spirit begins to move and strange things begin to happen. And immediately they're like, oh, what is this? Oh, we don't want this stuff, yeah? No, this is strange stuff. This is weird stuff. I was relating to my team. One of the churches where I began my ministry. I'm very thankful and I'm very grateful that they allowed me to start there and God taught me a lot of things there. But you know, when I used to pray for people, I was never allowed to pray in the church. Because no demons are allowed to manifest in that church. Apparently everybody in that church is perfect. And no demons are supposed to pop there. Can I tell you what happened there? Oh, I have to share this one with you. So here we have this church that, bless them, will not allow me to pray for anybody in the church. We have to go into what they called like a prayer room, like a bunker room, and we had to go and pray there because it wasn't good for their people to see manifestations. When you walked with Jesus, you saw them all the time. In fact, you would probably be popping off when Jesus was there. It's like just the way it is. Jesus didn't see it as a problem. He saw it as something good. So we have to go and we have to pray there in the prayer closet, which is fine. We go there, we pray, things heat up, demons come out, people get healed, it's good. But one day, the Holy Spirit decided he's just had enough. This is not the way things have to be. I remember I walked into the church that day, and I got this really strange feeling that something wasn't right. It was nothing that I ate. There was a definite spiritual presence hanging there that wasn't good and wasn't right. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is called the gift of discerning of spirits. And sometimes God can reveal in various ways to a believer that has that gift that there is a problem here. And I was the one preaching that day. I walk into this church. It actually feels like something wants to push me out. It was a very strange experience. Felt like something was pushing me. I actually had to force my way into the church. And I thought, this is not normal. And then I had this weird feeling like something grabbed my heart and I felt fear come all over me. And I don't battle with fear. God delivered me from that long time ago. So now the praise and worship is going. I'm standing there. I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know what? Something is not right. We're going to have to pray about this. All right, fine. Praise and worship is finished. I go onto the stage. I say to the congregation, listen, I had a really strange experience when I came to your church today. It was like something tried to push me out of here. Something doesn't want me here. And I felt this presence. It's not good. This is not my church. It's your church. Back then, I was just a visiting evangelist. I said, this is not my church. It's your church. It's not my responsibility to get rid of this thing. It's your responsibility to get rid of this thing. Now, I didn't ever check this with a pastor. There was no time. So I said to them, I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to keep whatever this is hanging around? Yeah, or do you want to tell it to go? Oh, no, they want to tell it to go. I said, okay, good. Everybody stand. So they all stand. I said, now you repeat after me. And I led them in some prayer where we took authority over this thing and we commanded it to get out of that church in Jesus' name. We just did what the Bible says we must do. Put the devil under our feet. Amen. And then we had an explosion of cataclysmic proportions. Because the presence that was there came with one of the local Satanists that was sent to infiltrate the church and cause big problems there. And her demons were not happy when we took authority over them and put them under our feet. Tony, just come lie here and let me jump up and down on you and we see what happens. You see if he doesn't start screaming. He'll start, I promise you he'll start screaming. Now demons are no different. You put them under your feet, they start performing. They don't like it. And this woman, I've worked with her for a long time after that. Let me tell you something, she was very vocal. Even without her demons. Now you must understand when her chochos are popping through her. It was like, ooh, she raised the roof. But she didn't just raise the roof. She went down and you just saw chairs flying. There was two big men sitting next to her. They just went rolling down the road. And then the pastor, he had like 7 heart attacks at once. You know, it's like... This is like the worst nightmare. These things are happening in his church. Oh my God, we better do something. And he mobilizes his leadership. They carry this woman kicking and screaming and swearing and cursing all the way to the back of the church because that's where the doors are. And she was sitting right in the front, the second row. Well, of course, nobody can do nothing now. It's just like everybody's just sitting there checking this out. So now they got her there to the back and then they had like this foyer. Now, nobody knows exactly what happened in that foyer, but it was very vocal and it was full of cursing and swearing and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So I'm standing there Now I'm supposed to be preaching. But I want to tell you something that's really difficult to preach while that's happening, because nobody's looking at me, everybody's checking the door. You know, it's like, yeah. And I can see most of the people, they already got the handbag and the Bible. They're ready to like, just tell me to go and I'm going. So I didn't preach much that night because I didn't have nobody's attention. But you know what God did that night? The Holy Spirit just decided it's time for me to blow in a different direction. Now I want to say something to you. That church was very offended with what happened there that night. And a lot of the people in that church never came to my meetings again after that, because apparently these things are wrong. Well, you know what? That's just sad. Because I want to tell you something. Go read your Bible. These things happened where Jesus ministered. Didn't he say, you will do what I did? Didn't he send the disciples out and he say to them, go out and cast out devils, lay your hands on the sick people and they will get better? Yes, he did. But here's what we're talking about. I asked you a question. I said, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes, when the kingdom of God is made manifest? You know, we've got churches praying for revival, praying for the power of God, praying for the fire. But when they get the first little drop of rain, it's like, oh, this was not from God. Oh, we don't want this here. Oh, this is not how we do things. And then they stop it. Do you know the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God? Why do you think we are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit? Because we can grieve Him. And you know what's the biggest way to grieve the Holy Spirit? When you've called Him to come, He comes. And when He brings the power of God, you're like, ooh, we don't want this. You grieve Him and you will not see Him again. The church that I spoke to you about, they had like a mini revival start there, but it didn't last long because the Holy Spirit wasn't welcome. And I've seen that at a couple of different places where we've preached. And that's just sad. Because I want to tell you something. Without the Holy Spirit, what are you? Where are you going to go? What can you do? Say with me, nothing. The church should be a giant. The church, Jesus made the following statement. He said to Peter, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you hear that? The Bible says that the gates of hell, and maybe you don't understand how that works, but the gates represent the top, the echelon of power in Satan's kingdom. We're talking Beelzebub, Lucifer, Jezebel, Leviathan, all the big power demons should not be able to make one dent in the church. In fact, they should all go when the church mobilizes. But they don't. They don't see the church as a threat. Can I tell you why? Because the Holy Spirit's not there. The Holy Spirit's not there, the devil's not afraid. You need the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, He does things His way and He does what's needed. I'm going to share with you a little bit about that woman that popped that day. I got to know her later. Here's her story. She had a lot of problems and she had a lot of issues, but she never chose the life that she lived. Her father was a missionary. And he was a missionary on one of the islands there close to Tahiti. And he was sent to a specific island. And when he got to the island, they started building the church. And the one morning, he got there and all his workers were gone. Couldn't find nobody. And he saw some entrails and he saw like a beheaded sheep or something. And it was clear that something, some ritual was done there. And there was a note from the local witch doctor, saying that this will not be tolerated. This island belongs to them. And he better go. And her father probably didn't understand spiritual things very well. Took one look at that. Oh, what a load of nonsense. Wara, wara, wara. Went on. And then they put a curse on his daughter, who was at that stage just under a year old. And it was this girl. Do you know that when she was just over a year old, every time her mother carried her into the church, she would start manifesting violently because of all the spirits that were sent to torment her by the local witch doctors on the island. But her parents didn't understand spiritual things. It was so bad that they couldn't take her to church. Her father was the minister on the island, but his daughter could not attend the meetings. In all other respects, she seemed to be normal, but when they took her to church, she would go mad because of the spirits that was put on her by the occult, witchcraft, sorcery. When she was 10 years old, she walked into the church and openly confronted her father, demons speaking through her in different voices, and told him to get off the island. She was possessed by the spirits that ruled the island. But she never chose that. It was forced on her. And her family didn't know how to deal with this stuff because they weren't open to it. You see, unfortunately, a lot of us European-type people, we're not open to the spirit world. We think it's a bunch of hocus-pocus. You know, when we think about that, we think of like the boogeyman. It's like somebody made it up. No, demons are real. Curses are real. Evil spirits are real. But God's more powerful. And you know, this woman spent most of her life going from church to... When they got back to this area, the local Satanists drew her in because they discerned that she had powerful demons with her and they wanted those demons as part of their clan. And they started using her in the church because she came from a church background, and they started using her to close down churches. She would go into the churches and she would release these demons and all sorts of problems would start. She had a lot of chochos with her. By the grace of God, I cast out most of them. I can't say that we cast out all of them because I have no idea what was all there. But I worked with her for more than a year. She was bouncing off my walls every time I started praying for her. At one stage, I will never forget, she got into, at some point in time in her life, she got into like the more Hindu religions. The demons in her pushed her into all sorts of wrong paths. And there's a spirit called Hanuman, the monkey spirit, I believe. That day when that chocho came out, she turned into a monkey. She climbed the walls in my office. I'm telling you, she hung on the windows like a monkey. Never seen anything like that in my life. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Even if what happened that day was just for her, it was still good. Because didn't Jesus come to set the captives free? Didn't Jesus come to heal the brokenhearted? In a way, the church failed this girl. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Her parents did not have the knowledge. In fact, her father, being a minister, was also a Freemason, which is like it's a contradiction. So I don't think he could help her even if he tried. But God wanted to show her something. Now, let me tell you what happened later that night. Now, I'm standing there on the stage. I preached a very short sermon because I could see I had nobody's attention. I dismissed the meeting. And I asked them to bring the girl to me in the prayer room. Because remember, I'm not allowed to pray outside. I have to pray in the prayer room. So they bring this girl all kicking and screaming and freaking. Before she was still screaming. Tell you one thing, those demons... I spoke to her about that once. I said to her, you know what? How many churches have you destroyed? She said, well, at her last count, about 15. I said to her, well, what made this church different? She said she doesn't know, but when she walked into that church, there was a presence there that she'd not felt before. She'd not felt before. Which means that the other churches that she killed, there was no presence there. Who's the presence she was talking about? The Holy Spirit. Nothing challenged her in the other churches. So tell me what. Were they alive or were they dead? They were dead anyway. I said to her, what happened to you today? Now she doesn't know, but everything inside of her just got charged up and she lost control. And she had this fear inside of her that she couldn't control. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Demons fear the presence of God. So I said to her, well, here's the reality. Probably today, for the first time, you were confronted with this reality. God is real. Even though you've never experienced it that way, God is real. And you have to make a choice. You see, I can't make the choice for her. You can't make the choice for her. She must make the choice. I said to her, you have to make the choice. What do you want to do? She looked at me. She said, well, what she experienced this day was very strange. And if this means that God is real and that God can help her, then yes, she wants me to pray for her. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to share the gospel with you, which I proceeded to do. After I shared the gospel with her, which I believe she'd heard before, but because she had demons, they would normally cloud her, and you know, she doesn't know exactly what the people are talking about. I shared the gospel with her. I said, pray this with me. We're going to pray a prayer of salvation. Yeah, that didn't happen. The same demons that started screaming through her just plonked her down on the floor and she went ballistic. She was like a mini atom bomb going off. So what do? I cast the demons out. She had never, ever had a demon cast out of her. She'd spent most of her life going from church to church to church. Never had a demon cast out of her. I'll never forget. She was blowing up and performing and freaking out. We cast this demon out. And you know what it's like? Most people, when demons manifest, they're not really there. They don't know what's going on. In her case, she didn't know what was going on at all. The demon fought with me for a while, but then eventually the thing left. And when she came to again, this was the scene. All right. She used to wear a lot of makeup. Like she really plastered it on. The lipstick was everywhere. The mascara was everywhere. The eyeliner was everywhere. The eyeshadow was everywhere. She had this fringe, this Johnny Bravo effort that used to go on. It was like in all directions. She resembled a cockatoo. Her clothes were all over the place. Buttons were pulled off. It wasn't us, it was the demons. So now she comes to. She's sort of in a half-sitting, half-lying position there on the floor. She comes back to herself. She looks around. She notices herself on the floor. She sees her clothes all over the place. She's like, what the beep, beep, beep? What happened? Yeah, you know? I say to her, no, we cast out your demon. Nah, that's impossible. I said, look at yourself. Do you remember anything that happened? No. I said, have they ever cast a demon out of you before? No. I said, well, it just left now. She couldn't believe it. She challenged me. She said, oh, that it couldn't happen. You can't cast out by demons. I said, must I cast out another one? I did. That first night, I cast out 5 or 6. I can't remember how many. Do you know, by the end of that night, she was ready to believe for the first time. Not because somebody told her, but because the Holy Spirit showed her that God is real. That the power of God is not a myth, it is real. But I want to say something to you, and I don't mean to offend anybody by this, but you can't find that power just anywhere. Because the Holy Spirit is not welcome everywhere. The Holy Spirit's only welcome some places. Because some people like to pray about the kingdom of God, but they don't like to manifest the kingdom of God because they don't like the weird things that happen when the kingdom of God comes. Have I only got 10 minutes left? We'll see about that. That woman got saved that night. She started coming to me. I started praying for her. And you know what? There was a lot of change that took place in her life. Probably I've shared this before as well. I know I have shared this before as well. But in a similar vein, I went to a church. I'm not even going to say the area. But it's very far from here. They invited me that night to come and speak on deliverance. The pastor knew another pastor that used to invite me to his church, and he heard what happens there when I pray for people. And so one night he invited me, come and talk to my people about this stuff. Now let me just tell you something. Some of these things you can't talk about. You've got to experience them. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He wants you to experience Him. What's the use of having a nice sermon about the Holy Spirit and then you go home? He's a person. He wants you to meet Him. Hello? And He wants to meet with you. So I went there that night and I spoke a bit, shared a couple of testimonies, preached from the Word. And there was a lot of people there that night. So afterwards I said, is there anybody here that feels that this Word spoke to them? Please come forward. We'll pray for you. And a lot of people come forward. But it's one of those churches where the closest they get to prayer is when the pastor says, please remember Mrs. Pochenpool in your prayers. You know, that's prayer to them. Me, I don't pray that way. You got a problem? Come here. Let's sort it now. Amen? So yeah, all these people come forward. This church is not geared for this at all. You know, they have no idea what's going to happen now. Even the pastor, he's like, he's only just met me tonight. It's the first time we met. He's trapping around there like a nervous little puppy, like, what is going to happen now? I said, no, calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Oh, my word. I walk up to the first woman. Yeah. I walk up to the first woman. I remember I didn't say a word. I walked up to her. I stretched out my hand towards her, and she fell down and started sailing like a snake. People jumped this high. The woman standing next to her was instantly cured. She didn't need prayer anymore. So knackered when God does that. God did all the works. Like, I'm cured. And I'm leaving. That was the first woman. Prayed for the second one. Can't remember what happened there. Prayed for the third one. I think the fourth or the fifth one again. Some huge screaming manifestation. Something happened there. And then the most amazing thing happened. This line that went from the one side of the church to the other side of the church, by the time I got to the fourth person, there was only two more people left. It's like, all the rest of them got cured. They got instantly healed. Well, I can only say praise God for that. But the last woman. Aye. The last one. Notice it's always the ladies. I'm not going to say nothing about that, but it's always the ladies, you know. I get to this woman, I'll never forget. I noticed her actually while I was preaching. She couldn't sit still. She kept fidgeting and faffing and she looked irritated. And I sort of had a suspicion, but you know what? While you're busy preaching, there's nothing you can do about that. So she came forward. And when I went and I stood in front of her, I didn't say a word. I stood in front of her and I looked into her eyes. And the moment I looked into her eyes, this male voice spoke from her. And this voice told me, she belongs to me and I will never let her go. And guess what? The rest of the church was instantly cured. Everybody just ran. So yeah, it's me and the pastor. He can't run because he's getting a salary. He has to stay. How's that going to look? I'll tell you what, that man's knees went clack, 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 clack. Oh, God, forgive me. But anyway. Now this woman, this demon is challenging me there. I brought another guy with me, a pastor. Another pastor went with me that night, friend of mine. So it's the two pastors, me and this woman and the pastor's wife. The demon now told me that he's not going to leave. I just want to say to you that demons like to say that. Doesn't mean it's true. It's not what they say. It's what he says. It's what God says. But they'll challenge. They'll confront. They'll be idiots. They'll be ridiculous. It's just the way they are. It's kind of like their job, you know? And so I started praying. And slowly but surely, this woman sank down onto the floor. She fell on the floor and she lay there shaking. I left her for a while, spoke to the pastor, went back to her and I said to her, "Are you a Satanist?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Why are you in this church?" She says, "I was sent to destroy it." I said, "Well, how's that working for you?" She says, "Well, apparently it's not going very well tonight." I said, "Okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe, with what you felt and what you saw in this church tonight, that Satan can destroy what you experienced?" She said, "No." She knows she can't because she could feel all her demons had fear. I said, "Okay, well, praise God for that." I said, "Now, do you want to change?" She says to me something to this effect, "Yes, she wants to change, but she knows she can't." I said, "That's ridiculous. If you want to, you can." She says, "No, you don't understand. I can't." I said, "Why not?" She says, "Because in the past she's tried, but even if she moves from one area to another area, the local covens find her, they bring her in, and they torture her because she ran away, and you know what, her life just goes back." I said, "Well, you've tried to change without God. Maybe you should try and change with God." She looked at me. She said, "Okay." She's willing to give it a go. I said, "Right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take you into that room." The only reason I took her there is because I'd been into the pastor's office and I saw that there was a couch. And I needed her to sit down. Actually, I needed her to lie down. Because we spoke about it, she had what is called pushpins. For some of you, that's really strange, but people involved in the occult will take metal objects and force them under their skin, like needle tips, etc., etc. For you, it might be strange, but apparently it does give the demons more power. It's like a form of self-sacrifice to the demons. Torture, mutilation helps. I asked her, "Do you have any of these things?" She said, "Yes, my whole back is full of them." I said, "Right, then we must pray and ask God to take it out." She said, "How are you going to get it out?" I said, "I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to God, but we have to pray." Took her into the pastor's office. There was a 3-seater couch. I asked her to lie down on the couch. I said to her, "Okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to remove this stuff now." She says, "How's it going to come out?" I said, "I don't know. There's one of two ways. Either it's going to burn out or it's going to pop out. Or maybe God's just going to do something different. I don't know." She said, "Is it going to be sore?" I said, "I don't know. Right now I have no idea, but I have to pray." "Oh, okay." So I start praying. I put my hand on her back and I started praying and I started speaking to these things. I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, however you have to come out, you have to come out." This woman starts screaming, but badly. You know, like when you say it sounds like you slaughtered a pig, and that's the way it sounded. I think she woke up half the neighborhood, and she wouldn't stop. She screamed and screamed and screamed and screamed. For 5 minutes, we couldn't calm this woman down. Then she quieted down. By the time she was finished, every single one of those pins had pushed through her skin and come out. Somebody give the Lord a big hand, please. Do you know what? She committed her life to God. She made a decision to change. We prayed for her a couple of times after that. Then she moved on. I lost contact with her. I can't say what's happening in her life right now, but the last time I spoke to her, it went well. Why did things change in both these girls' lives? Because they met someone. Who did they meet? The Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit can turn death into life. He can turn defeat into victory. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that person wants to work in your life. That person also wants to have a relationship with you. And you will never know who Jesus really is until you meet that person. The Holy Spirit is the one that releases the power of God into any situation. God can speak it, but the Holy Spirit has to do it. Without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no power. When we pray, He's the one that sprinkles our words with power. You can pray without the Holy Spirit, then you're just breathing hot air. I can't guarantee you that anything will happen, because without Him, I don't believe it will. Nagging God's not going to change something. But when the Holy Spirit works with us and we begin to pray in line with the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, we see change quick, quick, boom, boom, boom. Things begin to happen. The Holy Spirit is real. Now, I'm going to tie it all in. When the Holy Spirit begins to work, we call it the kingdom come. When the Holy Spirit begins to work and the kingdom of God is made manifest, strange and supernatural things are always going to happen. The question is, are you open to that? Because I know what happens. A lot of people take one look and it's like, this is not God. I want to remind you, God doesn't have to do what you want. And the way the Holy Spirit operates doesn't have to conform to your view of how things should be. The Bible says, 1 John 3:8, the wind blows where it wants to. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it is going. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does what He wants, not what you want. And sometimes He does what's needed now, even though you think something else is needed. And what tends to happen is people rebel against Him. I was like, oh, dude, we didn't want that. Or all these people falling down and making funny noises. Oh, that's not good. Says who? Probably that's what they needed. What'd you say, Tony? I say that's what's needed. You know, in Afrikaans, we've got a nice word, muisnester. Sometimes that's the only way to get the muisnester out of some people. God has to clap them left, right, left, right, left, right. Boom, boom, boom. There they go. Some spiritual operation on your mind there quickly. When the Holy Spirit comes, some people start getting dizzy. Some people fall over. Some people start screaming. Why? Because the Holy Spirit caused some chocho out of them. Some people start shaking. Hello, we're talking supernatural things here, spiritual things. When spiritual things happen to people, there is a physical manifestation that normally takes place. It doesn't have to be what you want, as long as it is what God wants, then there will be change. And you know, a lot of people are like, oh, how do we know this is God? Well, it's easy. Jesus Himself said, look for the fruit. Look for the fruit. When that person's life changes, or after that they are healed of some sickness or some disease, or it's clear that they got delivered from some demon and there is change, then you have to accept that that was God. If you can't accept that that was God, you have no faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is the foundation. Everything that we build, we have to build on Jesus, the rock. But without the Holy Spirit, we can't build. What good is it you have a good foundation, but nothing has ever been built on that foundation? Because when God built the earth, the Holy Spirit was the builder. If you want God to build you a good life, a life of victory, a life of honoring God, a life of glorifying God, then you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the builder. And you have to allow Him to build the way He wants. Even if it's strange for you. I think one of the biggest problems that we have is that the things of the Spirit of God don't make sense. In fact, let me just finish off by reading you this scripture again. It comes from the book of, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If it's not 1 Corinthians, then we'll check 2 Corinthians, but we'll find it. Let's quickly check. Okay, I'm at 2 Corinthians. Let me just see. Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians. Let me show you what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He might as well be speaking to us today. He says the following. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot understand them because they have to be spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. In other words, what he says is, people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit, when they are confronted with the move of the Holy Spirit, turn around and say, this is ridiculous, this is rubbish, this is foolish, this is stupid, this is crazy. And he says, that's just the way it is. Because the only way to understand spiritual things is to be spiritually enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? So if you are sitting in a church where nobody is really spiritually enlightened, where the Holy Spirit's not really welcome, and suddenly the wind of God begins to blow there, what's the general consensus? Ooh, this is not God. Because the flesh cannot judge spiritual things and will not accept spiritual things. Without the Holy Spirit, my friend, you're going to go nowhere. I'm going to go nowhere. God wants you to build. He wants you to build something with your life. But the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to build. Yes. Without Him, you can have a foundation that's been standing bare for 20 years. And you actually have nothing to show for the 20 years that you've walked with God. But then you get somebody else that's only been in the kingdom of God for a year. They've got a good foundation and they're hungry for the things of the Spirit of God. They understand spiritual things. They allow the Holy Spirit to work and they've got this huge structure up already. And then we get all these religious people like, God's got favorites. No, He doesn't. If you want to be hungry for something, be hungry. And be thirsty. Jesus said, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, be thirsty. Not like, oh, well, you know what, if the Holy Spirit wants to touch me, He can touch me. You know, it's like just one of those things. No, that's wrong. Be thirsty. Your attitude should be, man, I'm not going home tonight until I got a good drink. In fact, I'm going to drink till I pass out. I'm going to drink till I'm drunk. Doesn't the Bible say, do not become drunk in wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit? Some of you probably need to get drunk tonight. That's the only way to get rid of all the rubbish up in your head. Why are you smiling? Do you know something I don't? Your husband, at least looks like the lights came on. Like it's like, wow, man, no, that's right. I'm only joking. Louis. You know, this man never listens, but when I spoke about getting drunk, this guy just like I want to see you for prayer, eh? Yeah. Amen. Anyway, did God speak to anybody tonight? Yes. Ah, give the Lord a big hand.